Ryan Blackwings for the Life Steinbeck asked me who are some of my favorite women wrestlers. I'll say first and foremost, my favorite women's wrestler is Reina Del Rey in the Women of Wrestling, but I call her Ruby Reyes. That's where I learned of her. Ruby Reyes is probably my favorite women's wrestler. I'm also a big Camille fan in the NWA. She is obviously a great competitor. She's the Women's World Champion. Man, what a great question, Jamin. I'm going to get to your question in just a minute. Let me finish up my thought on women's wrestling, then I'll talk about Cahagas. It's funny because I just posted a Cahagas video on TikTok today. Reina Del Rey is probably my favorite women's wrestler. I'm a huge Camille fan. Natalia Markova has from the NWA is really good. If we're talking about outside of the NWA or the United Wrestling Network, on the indies, I'm a big fan of Heather Monroe. If you're talking about like some of the bigger companies, of course, I think that Thunder Rosa is probably the best women's wrestler out there. When she's healthy, she is awesome. In Impact, of course, Deonna Purrazzo. You can't forget about Deonna Purrazzo. If you're thinking about the WWE, I mean, gosh, there's a couple of good ones in the WWE. I very much like Asuka. Thank you, Asuka. I really like Asuka a lot. I think she could be a much bigger deal. I wish the WWE would put something bigger behind her to get her going. Steve, I believe they're going to be filming some more WOW matches. I want to say like next weekend. August, I think it was the 17th, 18th, and 19th, I think. You should go to their website and double check, but I think they're filming some more. It's at the Belasco Theater in Los Angeles. They tape in the evenings, which is good if you're working during the day. If you work at night, that sucks. But yeah, check it out. And if you didn't listen to the podcast, check that out. It's the Lions Blog on all your favorite podcasting sites. One of the cool things is on Friday, and I actually talked about this yesterday. On Friday, I was able to go to a Women of Wrestling show here in Los Angeles down at the Belasco Theater. And I'm telling you, man, if you have an opportunity to check it out and you're a fan of women's wrestling, I highly recommend doing it at least once. You know, if you follow any of the talent from Women of Wrestling on their social medias, they will have links to get tickets either at a reduced cost or even free. That's the option I went, and it was cool. I got to see some favorites like Reina Del Rey and their version of their version of my brain is not working right now. Their version of the Wrecking Ball, which is actually Heidi Howitzer, that you guys know on the internet, on the indie scene. Heidi Howitzer actually teams with Max the Impaler in Japan. So it's kind of, like when I watch her, I'm like, that's Max's tag team partner in Stardom. It would be so cool if we could see Max and Heidi team in the NWA. It's not going to happen, though. It's not going to happen because, you know, the contracts between the two companies just isn't going to happen. Willie says he's proud of those Tonga twins. I don't know. I'll be honest, Willie. I haven't followed the product super closely, but I will tell you that there's some golden things that happened to the Tonga twins. And some of the women I think would translate very easily into the NWA if there was ever some sort of crossover. You know, that I don't think it'll happen, but if it ever did, like Wrecking Ball, yeah, Steve G, Roxy Perez. Steve G says he likes Gen Z. She's got it all. You see, Gen Z reminded me a lot of like Roxy. I don't remember her name in the WWE, but she was the Ring of Honor Women's Champion when Ring of Honor went on hiatus. And we've also seen she came from Booker T's Reality of Wrestling. She reminded me a lot of her. What if Fury from the Heavy Metal Sisters shows up on NWA Power? You know, they weren't at the TV tapings, so I'm not super familiar with Fury. But, I mean, look, the thing about it is once they're out of contract, I think they're free to go anywhere they want. And I know that a lot of the talents, after doing some research, spent some time in Ohio Valley before they came to Women of Wrestling. And I mean, like the fabulous Free Babes, Hollywood J, was actually a member of the roster from Women of Wrestling. She teams with Big Rig Betty. She wrestles as Holly Swag, the Mother Truckers. It's a great tag team name, by the way. The Mother Truckers. I think Holly Swag would be perfect in the NWA. She kind of reminds me of like a Kenzie Page, Kylie Ray. Not Kylie Ray, excuse me, Kylie Page. Kenzie Page, Kylie Page. Right in that same vein. Very like a spitfire. Like a, you know, we didn't really get to see a lot of Hollywood J when she showed up with the Free Babes. So yeah, I mean, if you're interested in what I thought with some fantasy booking, go to the Alliance blog on Spotify or on really any of your podcasting platforms. Give it a listen, because I felt like I did a pretty good job of coming up with a women's pay-per-view between the two promotions that everyone leaves looking good. You know, one person, did you see Princess Ozzy? I did see Princess Ozzy. Willie, you want some insider dirt here on Princess Ozzy? It's nothing bad. Princess Ozzy is actually the girlfriend of Watts. And I got to see Watts. Big nasty Eric Watts. Got to see him for the first time.
Can you believe that there are some people in this world that did not tune in to the Alliance Vlog Podcast? Shame on you.
Shame on you. My name is Ella Indy, and I'm one half of the NWA Women's World Tag Team Champion.
And I'm Kenzie Page, the other half of the NWA World Women's Tag Team Champion.
And you better go listen to the Alliance Vlog. What is it called?
Podcast. Period.
You're ugly.
And then Steve G mentions, hopefully we'll get some females to joining up in the NWA. Well, it's kind of funny, because the last 2 days on the Alliance Blog podcast that you could listen to at any of your favorite podcasting networks, we've been talking about women's wrestling a little bit more than normal. And Lamb, you sly dog Lamb. We've been talking about women's wrestling a little bit more than usual. Of course, the big news is they are coming in with some women wrestlers that are coming to the NWA. Of course, this is the match that we're getting, main event night one. It's, sorry for the fuzzy photo, but it's Camille versus Natalia Markova. But they'll also be having a Burke Invitational, and we know that three women have already been announced for that. And they're not quite... I wouldn't call them regulars for the NWA because we haven't seen them in a while. But we're going to have Allison Kay, Sierra, who we were introduced to in at the 312 pay-per-view, and then Wode. And I don't remember where we got Wode from, but Wode should be a part of that too. So that's three new additions to essentially at least the roster for now. And we'll see what's going on with that. I'm not entirely sure, but I'm excited to see... who else could surprise us? A lot of us have been saying Tootie Lynn, the Blue-Eyed Dragon, because she's been at the last two NWA anniversary shows, but who knows who will show up. We know that Misa Kate and Maddie should be defending the women tag team titles. It seems like they might. We might know who their opponents will be after tonight. We know that Kenzie Page should be having a title defense at either night one or night two of the pay-per-view. So we do have that. And then, of course, Ruthie J has been a regular on the roster. We also, you know, as I'm thinking out loud here, I know that some of the talents that were announced for the World is a Vampire show, you know, they have Max the Impaler will be on those cards. Kenzie, Kylie, and Ruthie J will be on those cards along with Camille. So, you know, like I said, Ruthie J is seemingly more part of the roster now. And then the Page sisters, Maxine Paler. So, I mean, we'll see more as we get closer. Hopefully more of the talents that will be on that show. Dave Scooby said Wode has wrestled for Mission Pro in the past. I guess, maybe. But I think we'll see some more women coming by way of, you know, the Burke, the Invitational. We'll see who sticks around afterwards. Of course, there are TV tapings the next two nights after the pay-per-view in Nashville. Okay, I just moved some stuff over. Maybe it was something on here. I don't know. Lamb says he's surprised that the NWA doesn't invite Lainey Luck to their roster. She's as good as Heather Monroe and Ray Lynn. You know, Heather Monroe and Ray Lynn recently competed on an episode of Power to take on M95. I don't think you're going to see Ray Lynn because she's very much a part of Women of Wrestling, and I don't know if what their contracts allow or don't allow for them to be, you know, on the NWA. Steve G recommended Heather Reckless. Willie Bowen says there's a whole bunch of good women wrestlers in WOW. Excuse me, in Mission Pro. He said Mission Pro. Okay. That's just kind of what it is. Whenever they were in the PBS Sesame Street studio, whether that was Tampa or Wildcat. No, that was Tampa for sure. The Woad wrestled undercard stuff, and then she was backstage for the most recent Highland Park tapings. Retro is still pulling for Tessa. My opinion on Tessa Blanchard, she's like her dad. Wow, Joseph, spill the tea, brother. I think Tessa Blanchard is the ultimate comeback story. I know what she said, guys. I know that she's not exactly everyone's favorite. But what she did do is make amends to... Tessa Blanchard made amends to the person that really kind of got the majority of the heat with her, La Rosa Negra. Does that make everything go away? Absolutely not. But this is where you go back and say, hey, America, wrestling fans, whoever's listening, I made a mistake. I treated somebody poorly. I used words that I'm not proud of. And I've done a lot of reflecting and realized how bad that was. And here I am going to apologize to the person that I impacted, and apologize to any of you who are watching this right now, because you deserve better. I deserve better, but you deserve better, and I'll be better. And Tessa Blanchard, if she just went out and apologized and then put in the work, I think she could really come back. You know, the more I think about it, the more it makes sense for her not to come to the NWA. Boom! Swerve! I think Tessa Blanchard should go to MLW. Yeah, I said it. What is she going to do in the NWA? Lose to Camille? I don't think Camille's ready to let go of the Burke. What are you going to do with Tessa Blanchard? You send Tessa Blanchard to MLW, guess what? And all of a sudden, she's the MLW Featherweight Women's Champion. I'm just saying. More talk in the chat. Willie Bone wants to see Viperous and Rekha Tahaka. Ruby Reyes, Savannah Evans should be on the NWA roster. Well, I'll tell you this, Willie. Viperous, I think, is working for another all-female wrestling promotion based out of Las Vegas, but I think they taped some shows in Los Angeles. It's not Women of Wrestling. It has something to do with SWE Fury, the people that used to produce that show. I don't think she'll be in the NWA. Rekha Tahaka, Ruby Reyes, both are working with Women of Wrestling, so I don't think you're going to see them either. And then Savannah Evans, I think she's available. Somebody asked me who, I don't remember who asked, but said who was Ray Lynn, and WOW, she is Chantilly Che? Now I forgot. I'll have to look it up. You guys are making me look at the WOW website while I'm doing a podcast. That's a World of Warcraft. That's not the right thing. So, yeah. Women of Wrestling. Chantilly Chella. That's her name. Chantilly Chella. There you go. All right. More comments. If you tune in to Memphis this weekend, you're going to see Chris Adonis. So, you know, stay tuned. And then Kay Rule versus Lance Archer on Memphis. Tested to MLW. I mean, that's just a thought, right? I don't know, Lamb. I think it's a good idea. If my battery dies, I'm screwed. Where's my nearest battery at? What will Tessa do for... Oh, jeez. No. Damn it, Mike. Paladin says he loves Tessa Blanchard. She's great, man. In-ring-wise, I don't think you're going to find very many talents better than Tessa outside of the ring. I know she's had issues in the past, but we've already discussed that. In fact, I was talking about that at length earlier. Oh, knee on the table. Willie says Jordan Grace should be in the NWA. Maybe. I'm not going to read that either. Savannah Evans is an Impact Wrestling. Okay, I didn't know that, so there you go. Steve G says Vipress, I believe, is an FSW, same place as Zoe Starks, held the belt as Lacey Ryan. Yeah, you know, and Steve G, to further that, Zoe Starks was also competing in United Wrestling Network as well. When it comes to Lainey Luck, she may have leaned way into the cancel culture in 2020 on the Bird app, that she doesn't want to be booked by certain people, or people don't want to deal with her making drama. Exactly. Heap says, because Lainey Luck is talented, but her bookings have gone down a ton over the last couple of years. I follow the Chicago scene. Willie Bowen says, love Freya the Slayer. She was great. I'm surprised she didn't spend more time with the NWA. I know that she had the tryout match, the circle squared with, what was her name? Danny Jordan, the mean girl. And I felt like both of them would have been a great addition to the roster. The thing that Freya the Slayer has that most women don't have is size. She's huge. She's a, and I don't mean that in a negative way. She's tall. She's much taller than Camille. And it would have been interesting to see her and potentially like Genocide or Camille or any one of the talents that had been in the NWA in the last few years. But since then, she's been plying her trade in Ohio Valley. So, Tammy Music Man says, what are your thoughts on Kit Haggis as NWA World's Champion? Well, let me get a drink of water here because I'm feeling very dehydrated. Kit Haggis was a great choice for World's Heavyweight Champion. However, your boy Jay feels guilty. Your boy Jay feels bad. And this is something that's going to be with me for the rest of my life. Because Kit Haggis was in the discussion to become NWA World's Heavyweight Champion the same time that somebody who I really respected and really liked was also in consideration for that opportunity. And that would be Damian Wayne. Back then, we used to call him the Mr. Mid-Atlantic or the Mid-Atlantic Badass. Now, you got to remember that the NWA was in flux at this time. A new ownership had just taken over. The guys that were booked, initially, Colt Cabana was supposed to be the champion walking out of the Best of Seven series. And for whatever reason, the new ownership did not want to work with Colt Cabana at all. Now, one of the guys who was considered to be the next in line for that title was Damian Wayne. Damian Wayne had a series of matches against Scrap Iron Adam Pearce. Had really been putting in the work all up and down the Mid-Atlantic. And I'm talking from New Jersey down to Georgia. And he was working in Tennessee. He was showing up in the matches in Texas. And he was really putting in the work. And everyone saw that he was putting in the work, and everyone knew he was putting in the work, and everyone just kind of started talking about how Damian Wayne made the most sense to be the next World's Heavyweight Champion. If you look at that, the scheduled lineup, it was like supposed to be a 7-man series or an 8-man series. It was a huge multi-man match, and I know normally that's not the best way to crown a new World's Champion anyways, but they were trying to get the title going. 9-man elimination. You've seen the match. Okay, so you know what we're talking about then. Obviously, Kit Haggis wasn't on that list. I think it was Chance Prophet, of course, Damian Wayne. I think, the guy from AEW was in there. Tony Nese, I think. I think Jason Kincaid was on there. There was a lot of good talent in that that matchup, but it came down to... at the last minute, they did a swerve, and they did that swerve because, really, the Alliance blog, and I'm not saying this because I'm trying to take ownership of it. I'm kind of embarrassed. They were trying to swerve us, and it was literally I just heard it on another podcast recently. It was the podcast that Jeremiah Plunkett was talking about defeating Satoshi Kojima or wrestling Satoshi Kojima for the 10 pounds of gold. They brought us up, and they said it was literally the smart marks over at the Alliance blog is is the reason why that title match changed and it didn't go to Damian Wayne. And that's it's a miscarriage of justice. It's a travesty. Like, if you wanted to swerve us, you could have swerved us and put the belt on Cahagas and then had Wayne win it at some point down the road. They never did that. And I still feel guilty about that today. Because the ownership before Billy Corgan thought it would be a money-making idea to swerve the fans and put the belt on Cahagas. Now, Cahagas deserved better than that. Cahagas was a multi-time national champion for the NWA. He actually held the Triple Crown. And technically, at one point, he wrestled Kevin Douglas, where it was a title-for-title match, and at the end of the match, Kevin Douglas had the national title, and Tokyo Monster Cahagas had the junior heavyweight title. It was a travesty. You know, Mike just said it, and I'll put it up on the screen. I remember that was effed up for them to do that, and it was kind of a slap in the face of Wayne. It was, because Wayne was very much a company man. You know, he towed the company line for so long for so many different NWA promoters, and he worked hard. And like, he's been on this podcast, we talked about it, and he made it sound like it wasn't a big deal to him, but I gotta feel like that burned. You know, it had to hurt. And it kind of diminished the ability to do things with Cahagas. Oh, wow. You guys are asking me about Tyrus. We'll get to Tyrus in just a minute, okay? So looking at that, knowing what happened with Damian Wayne, it's hard to look at, kind of look at Cahagas separately. Now, Cahagas, I think, is a great talent. But I think also the focus of the NWA shifted very rapidly, because it went from, hey, we have this promotion, we're going to, you know, try to build up these independents, these territories, and we're going to do it under the banner of Tokyo Monster Cahagas, until New Japan comes knocking and they say, hey, we want an American wrestler to come to Japan and defend the 10 pounds of gold. And Tokyo Monster Cahagas was using a gimmick that was, you know, it was kind of like a, you know, Tokyo Monster. It's implied that he's Japanese. Cahagas isn't full-blood Japanese, and it might have been a harder sell for New Japan Pro Wrestling. I don't know exactly what came of that, and I'm only speculating, but I think they wanted Rob Conway because he had a WWE background. The Con Man. You could see him on SmackDown and on Raw. He was part of La Resistance. He was the Legend Killer. But he came back to the NWA to be world champion to go to New Japan Pro Wrestling. So they didn't really give Cahagas a lot of time to breathe. Now, he did take the title to the Dominican Republic and had a title defense there. So, like, in my mind, I always think, who is the last person to defend the title where? He's the last NWA world champion to defend the Dominican Republic. I think that's pretty cool. Obviously, the NWA office still liked him, because after he lost the world title to Rob Conway, he was still booked regularly. He still had opportunities in the NWA. I felt like, again, Wayne should have had that chance to run with the belt, but I also feel like you should have figured out a way to get Cahagas a better run with the title and then do Conway, or have those guys on the back burner for when Conway came back. Of course, eventually, you know, it went from Cahagas to Conway, Conway to Kojima, Kojima to Conway, Conway to Tenzin, Tenzin to Jack Stane. And now you can see that there was never an opportunity for Damian Wayne to get that shot at the title. Would I ever have Cahagas on the show? Absolutely. He's been on the podcast in the past. In fact, he called us live on our old call-in show that we used to run on Saturdays. He called in the morning after he won the title. I will look for that footage and maybe I'll bring that out, because it was a good interview. He had just won the title. And, of course, he was jacked. Cahagas came on the show quite a bit. He was managed on and off by Garrett. Santana Garrett's dad. And I can't think of his name right now. I feel really bad, because he was a great guy, too. He'd come on the podcast all the time, brought Santana Garrett on the podcast. Kenny Garrett. He was managed by Kenny Garrett in the Midwest. So anytime he came on, Kenny was usually with him, and Kenny could talk for hours. Great guy. He's missed. Rest in peace, Kenny. Yeah, Kenny G. So yeah, so that's my take on Cahagas. Thank you for tuning in to the Alliance Blog Podcast, a presentation of Alliance-Wrestling.com, the premier source for news and information for the National Wrestling Alliance. Would you consider subscribing so you never miss a new episode? You can follow us on all social media at the Alliance Blog, and we stream live on Twitch, Kick, and YouTube every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 5 p.m., 6 p.m., and 8 p.m. Eastern at the Alliance Blog. Until then, we are the Alliance.